William Morrow and Harper Audio present Dark Objects, a novel by Simon Toyne, performed by Shazia Nichols. Part 1. The Miller House. 1. Monday morning, 7:30. Celia Barnes unlocks the door to the Miller House for what will be her last time. She does not know, as she fits the stubby security key into the lock, that in a few short hours it will be bagged and logged, along with several other items from the house, as pieces of evidence in a murder investigation. But he knows. He watches her in his rearview mirror, watches her turn the key, watches her lean against the heavy door to open it. He is parked down the hill, as close as he can get without parking illegally, but far enough away to avoid the steady gaze of the two security cameras fixed high on the front of the house. The Miller House lies hidden behind a double-height section of brick that blends in with the soot-blackened wall running the length of Swain's Lane and separating it from Highgate Cemetery beyond. The only indication that anything other than trees and tombs and dead Londoners lie on the other side of this higher section of brick is a large square of opaque glass set into the top left corner, and the solid door fitted flush to the wall and painted dark grey to match the sooty brickwork. Celia Barnes steps through the door now, disappearing into the wall like it's a trick, and she's part of a performance which, in a sense, she is. He watches the door close behind her, slow and heavy on its automatic closers, like the door to an old-fashioned bank vault where treasures and secrets are kept. He checks the time, then slips a surgical mask over his face. It was not so long ago that anyone wearing a mask in public, especially a medical one, would have drawn attention. Now they were commonplace, a fact that had been extremely useful over the last few months. He steps out of the car, fastening his coat against the morning damp as he heads away from the Miller House and down the hill towards one of the gates leading into the cemetery. Official opening hours are 10 to 4, but he picked the lock earlier and will lock it again when he leaves. The gate that leads to the cemetery that leads to the back of the Miller House. His heart beats faster as he walks, but he forces himself to go slowly, to take his time. Afterwards, when blue and white police tape ribbons the house, questions will be asked, and someone might remember a man in a hurry. But he has plenty of time. He knows Celia's routine, knows which rooms she will clean first, and how long she will spend in each. At this moment, he knows as much about Celia Barnes as she does herself, more even, because he can also see her future. He knows what will happen to her next, though this knowledge brings him no pleasure. Celia Barnes is an innocent in all of this, and yet what she is about to experience will be horrifying and cruel. But it is also necessary. Inside the Miller House, a soft beeping sound echoes across the dark, polished wood that lines the empty hallway and up the steel antique staircase that rises through the centre of the building like the spine of the house. Celia Barnes glances up at the security camera pointing down at the door, waits a second for the face recognition software to verify who she is, then opens a small teak hatch set into the concrete wall by the door. A keypad lights up inside next to a square sensor, and she squints at the sequence she wrote on her hand. The code is long and complex, a mixture of symbols, numbers, and letters that gets changed regularly and texted to her by Mike, the owner of the house. She only has 30 seconds before the alarm goes off, so writes the code on her hand before leaving her flat in big biro letters, so she doesn't have to fumble for her phone or her glasses and waste precious time. On her second day cleaning for the Millers, she had got the code wrong, or possibly taken too long, or maybe both, and had set the damn thing off. The noise was unbelievable.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?